Hi, I'm Thomas Wilburn, and this is a review of the Blue Snowball. Blue Microphones normally produces its boutique microphones for studio use in a factory in Latvia. But this microphone, the Snowball, is a USB device that plugs directly into the computer and is class compliant on most Windows and Mac machines. And it was produced in China, which is not a mark against it because there are plenty of decent home studio condenser mics being made in China right now. But the question is, with this being an all-in-one device and one that plugs directly into USB, can it really compete with those microphones at the price of $100 where it's being offered? The construction of this microphone is unique, which is pretty standard for Blue, which has made a name for itself with odd-shaped microphones. It's the size and shape and color, actually, of a softball. It has a large grill on the front, a red light to indicate that it's active, and on the back is a set of microphone switches to choose between different capsule types. You've got a wider Omni type, which is the one I'm actually using now. It brings in a little bit more of the room. And then you've also got a cardioid type, which I can switch to. You'll hear that my voice is a little bit more focused, maybe a little bit louder, that you're getting less of the room noise, and I think that it's a little bit bassier, perhaps because of the proximity effect. There's a second mode that I don't necessarily see a lot of use out of, but others might, which is this cardioid mode, but with a 10 decibel pad on it. As you can hear in this mode, my voice should be a little bit softer. You could use this for recording loud instruments or particularly boisterous speakers, but other than that, I don't know that I would see much use out of it. The reason I don't think the pad is necessarily the most useful thing about the microphone is also one of the problems with the microphone. It's really fairly low gain. My mouth right now is about 2 or 3 inches from the microphone. I'm speaking at what I think would be a reasonably loud speaking voice, and I'm not even breaking the minus 12 dB meter in Reaper at the moment. So it's not a loud microphone by any stretch of the imagination, and it's not necessarily highly sensitive, which to me really limits its usefulness to one person. You could possibly use this for a podcast interview because it's not an intimidating microphone. It's a little bit goofy looking, and it's not as scary as a boom mic would be. But at the same time, it makes it hard to imagine using this for, say, music purposes, where you might want to capture a little bit more dynamic range. And there's another reason that this microphone wouldn't necessarily be useful for recording music. That reason is that it actually has no output. And that may sound strange to most people, because the idea of a microphone with an output is not necessarily intuitive. But a lot of pro audio applications expect to use one interface, and through that one interface, they expect to do both input and output. If you use the Snowball, you've really got no good way to record and listen to what you're recording or listen to another track at the same time. You can always create an aggregate device using either a couple of Windows utilities or on Mac you can use Core Audio. It's not something I would prefer to do if I were given the choice. I understand that Logic does have some problems using this microphone on its own without being part of an aggregate device for that very reason. Now, just for a comparison, as I said, we've been in the Omni mode here, which is my favorite mode for the microphone because I think it offers a little bit more high-end and it hypes the bass a little bit less than the cardioid. But let's listen to another cheap condenser mic that I have sitting around the house. This microphone is an Audio-Technica 2020. It normally comes as part of a two-pack with another small diaphragm condenser mic. You'll notice that the sound is a bit more open, it's a little bit more clear, which you'd expect, since at the same price as the Snowball, but without having to pack in the AD converters, the hardware is obviously a little bit more high quality. You'll also notice that, however, any pops might come across as a little bit more extreme if I were as close, but the advantage of a condenser mic like this is, unlike the Snowball, I can turn up the gain and move a little bit back, and it doesn't have to suffer from those kinds of plosive effects. Back to the Snowball, I think you can hear that it sounds a little bit boxy compared to the other microphone, and as I said, because you can't turn the gain up as much, you have to lean in pretty close, and I think that lends to only a few applications. In the end, the Snowball has a kind of simplicity going for it, and an attractiveness, but I'm not necessarily sure how useful it is. The sound quality isn't bad, it's certainly better than a microphone that might come built in with a computer, But in the price range of the Snowball, I'd advise probably spending about $100 more and buying a combination of a regular condenser mic and an interface that plugs in so that you can monitor tracks at the same time. It has more flexibility, it can be upgraded in parts, and in the end, it's not really any less portable. There's a few more cables, but with the unique shape of the Snowball, it's durable, but it's not necessarily something that lends itself to easy packing. All in all, I'd say that this might be a good choice as a first microphone for a home recordist, but pretty soon you're going to outgrow it, and I don't personally see myself using the Snowball for very many applications. For Ars Technica, this is Thomas Wilburn.